Welcome indeed to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I'm sitting here alongside Mr. Richard Jefferson, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. We've got all kinds of guests coming through today. We cannot wait. But first, we got to talk about game two of the finals tonight, gentlemen. Okay. It is not technically a must win for the Milwaukee Bucks, but history might say otherwise. Teams that are up 2-0 in the finals have a 31-4 all-time series record. So, Richard, your Cavs in 2016.
We were one of those teams.
You were one of those teams, but there's not that many on that side of the ledger.
No.
You did go down 0-2 and then go on to win the finals. So, what adjustments would you recommend that the Bucks make to be like you, Richard?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend is for Perk to stop taking all these deep breaths and acting like he's got an attitude. That's the first thing that we want to address. And second, I think the mentality is more of, you know, it is a boxing match. You want to feel each other out in game one. The Bucks were playing without Giannis in the first two games, so that's not going to be the best version of themselves, and I think the Phoenix Suns know that. So I think for the Bucks, it's just more keep pushing in the same direction, figure it out, get that rhythm, but they're going to need more contribution similar to what they had when Giannis was out.
I'm with you. I just wish everybody wouldn't overreact to game one for the simple fact, if you look at the history of the Suns throughout this postseason, they have dominated game ones because they put themselves in position to be successful by closing series out, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the Bucks; they had a quick turnaround. They weren't able to make the adjustments, right? They had to go in with the same type of thing that had them successful against the Atlanta Hawks they did against in game one. Now they have an opportunity to make adjustments. And it's just cleaning up the pick and roll, you know, maybe not switching, challenging Drew Holiday to get up and over screens the guards, because you can't switch now. Ayton is too talented. When the Atlanta series, you were able to switch because you were able to challenge, your guards were able to challenge John Collins and Clint Capella on the low block. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
And then you can't leave Brooke Lopez and those bigs on the island. What Phoenix do a great job of on the offensive end, they don't give the defense a chance to load up and help. They do a great job of player movement when they have a guy isolated at the top of the key, so you can't play boxes and elbows.
I mean, one of the fun things about game one of this series, even if you're a dispassionate observer, you're not rooting for either team, but watching Chris Paul in real time be able to say, oh, I see how this is going for the first two quarters, and by quarter three just being like, and this is how we will pick this apart. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, you know, of all the things that are fun to watch about basketball at this elite NBA Finals level, some of it is like, oh, wow, did you see that chase down block from Giannis? Or, oh, wow, did you see so-and-so shot the lights out? This, to me, just as a fan, is one of the more fun things to also see. Watching someone figure something out, make the adjustment, and then deliver the kill shot in real time, it's fascinating part of the game.
Well, and what I love about it is that Chris Paul does such a great job of spreading out the floor. You know, Devin Booker typically comes out and is very aggressive in the first quarter. He likes to get everybody involved, but it's not as simple as that. Chris Paul puts himself in a position to be successful. Now he's got to go be successful. So when he's distributing and he's doing all those stuff in the first three quarters, then next thing you know, right around those boxes and elbows, now those things are open. Chris Paul still got to knock down those shots. He still's got to get to that spot. He's still got to read the defense, but now it's so much easier because he's put in that work.
Well, I wanted to ask you something, Perk. So we look at that number 31-4, right? That's the record of teams that go up 2-0. That's a little skewed just because the home team is often the better team, right? So it's not a surprise if the home team goes up early, because normally they're there because they have the higher seed from doing better during the season. Do you think that this Suns team is so much more of a higher seed or a higher sort of elite level team than the Bucks, or do you think they're more evenly matched? Because what follows will affect that.
No, I actually think they're pretty equal.
Okay.
I mean, you know, when you get to this point in time in the finals, right, you could talk about defensive coverages, you could talk about offensive schemes, you could talk about everything in the world, but these two teams are here for a reason. It's the best out of the Eastern Conference and the best out of the Western Conference. They deserve to be here. It comes down to who wanted the most. It comes down to your superstars rising to the occasion and making shots. I keep hearing everybody talk about Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis in a pick and roll. If you go back and look look at CP3 and Devin Booker, they made tough contested twos and tough contested threes time and time again in game one. Great offense beat good defense any day. So right now it's at this moment of who wanted the most.
Well, look, you have an NBA title. You have an NBA title. I really respect both of your opinions, but there's a guy we have who two NBA titles.
Oh, and he's far better than us. Not better looking, but
also
better.
Right. What's up,
Chris
CB?
Bosh, thank you so much for being here today. I love having you on this. And I wanted to get your opinion. What adjustments do you think the Bucks need to make tonight?
Well, I mean, you know, we've been talking about the free throw discrepancies. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that they can improve on in the next game. Of course, you can debate on referee calls and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you have to guard without fouling. Book and see Chris Paul. They're going to be very aggressive. So they're going to have to make sure they stay in front of them and kind of like Perk said, keep forcing them into those contested twos. But to be honest, if I'm the Bucks, I kind of like where I am right now. You definitely can't come into game two getting down 20 points. I think if you're in that position in the finals against any team on the road, that's no good for you. They need to make sure they come out strong tonight, make sure they have a better game plan and a better effort in the beginning of the game to make sure that they could be a little closer. But all in all, they've got to play a little bit better defense. I think they can be pretty happy with that. But really, they've got to score a few more points and get a few more stops. And I have to say, last week on the show, I said that I didn't think Giannis was going to be able to come back. I have to give him his credit. He showed some poise and a lot of toughness. So give credit to Giannis and the medical staff of the Bucks for getting him back out there, because he looked pretty good.
I mean, he did. He obviously, several basketball moves he made during that game were just exceptional. The chase down block, obviously, is just such a visual representation of his athleticism.
That big
being
body
okay.
was the most impressive thing I saw.
Right?
That big body.
Big body.
I do want to pick up, though, on what Chris was just talking about with the free throw disparity, right? Yeah. Certainly one of the big storylines of game one. The Suns were 25 of 26 at the line. The only miss came just within the last 30 seconds of the fourth quarter, when the score was already pretty much decided. The Bucks had just 16 attempts, and yesterday Mike Budenholzer addressed the situation.
Big disparity at the line, and Chris in particular, not a lot of nights when he's gonna not go to the line at all. Just how did you see that aspect of last night?
You trying to bait me?
I'm just no
I mean, it's a huge part of the game. You know, they have 25 points from the free throw line. You know, we're a team that prides ourselves in defending and being able to be good defensively without fouling. I can't remember the last time a team got 25 free throws in a game against the Bucks. And then conversely, you know, the way Giannis attacks, the way Chris attacks, as many opportunities as Chris has with the ball. It's frustrating.
All right, so Perk, what do you make of the free throw disparity here?
Oh, please. He should be frustrated. He should be frustrated with the Milwaukee Bucks. Look, I don't want to hear that, right? You get rewarded for being aggressive. And time again, we all have been on the jump. We all have been on multiple platforms talking about why do the Bucks settle?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it is a huge disparity. 25 free throws in an NBA Finals game. If I'm on the other team, yeah, I would be a little upset too. But, you know, it's game one. It's one game. They're going to continue to attack. You have to give credit to the Suns for being aggressive on their home floor, dictating the tone in game one. Book was super aggressive, kind of like what Perk was saying. He's not settling. They're attacking the rim and being aggressive, and they're making an effort to get to the line. So I don't want to take anything away from the Suns. You know, with them definitely having that in their game plan. And, you know, they're taking and they're making their shots. So, yeah, 25 points off of free throws. You can argue that if the Bucks have 25 free throws as well, will they convert that many points? So I think all in all, at the end of the day, you just got to play the game. The referees are going to do their job. The teams have to do their job. And, you know, you've got to guard without fouling. And look, you know, Devin Booker, he was 10 for 10 last game one. He's one of the best scorers in the league. So it's not going to be easy. So we'll see how the whistle's going to be tonight. But usually in game twos, in my experience, those are the harder fought, more physical games. So we'll see what the Milwaukee Bucks' game plan is, who they're going to guard, and how their matchups are going to be coming out in the first quarter.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Even on the broadcast last night, mm-hmm. they said, or 2 nights ago, they said that the Milwaukee Bucks look a little step slow. And that's why coming out in the third quarter, you know, the Suns really started running away with it a little bit. You know, when you're talking about fouls and you're talking about, you know, mismatches and the Bucks play big so often, and then you have, you know, the Phoenix Suns moving that ball and playing small. But also, Chris Paul is historically known as one of the individuals that is the best at drawing fouls, getting teams in the bonus, getting guys to the free throw lines, and little ticky-tacks when his team is in the bonus. Let's not distract from the fact that they did do some things very well on the defensive end. They held Devin Booker to 1-for-8. Jay Crowder didn't make some shots. So, you know, even if you take away 6-7 of those free throws, Devin Booker's probably not going to go 1-for-8 from 3. Jay Crowder's probably not going to miss all of his 3s. So, yes, you might have gave up some points there, but you did a good job in other areas. It's all about adjustments and your aggressiveness. This is less about the Phoenix Suns and more about the aggressiveness of the Milwaukee Bucks.
And your point about getting tired, look, the Bucks came right off of a long and contested series with the Hawks, pretty much straight coming out here and diving into this NBA Finals. The Suns, not for the first time in this playoffs, took care of their business early enough and had a little bit benefit of just scheduling and when different series started and didn't, to get some rest. And I do think you saw that disparity also. And we'll see if with a little more rest, if the Bucks now can attack the paint a little bit more aggressively. All right, guys.
Anybody else notice that Rich is trying to grow hair on the sides?
I don't know if Director Kathy can do a close-up.
No, she can't.
She can't.
She can't.
There we go. We'll take the commercial break to discuss this a little bit more. But before we let you go, we're going to be talking about Jason Tatum speaking for the first time yesterday about his new head coach in Boston. What will it take for the Celtics to be contenders again? We'll discuss that. All right, so the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup last night. Congratulations to them, defeating the Canadiens 4-1, their second consecutive cup. Richard, which trophy is better?
It's the Stanley Cup, and I hate to say it, it's hard. There's nothing better to me. There's nothing I would rather hold than the Larry O'Brien, but as far as the coolest trophy in all of sports, I'll give it to hockey. That's one thing they have over us.
I'm a roll with that as well. I'm not going against the grain. Last time I tried to debate,
you can't go against the grain, dog. That'd be a bad idea for you right now.
Too bad you don't have grain to go against, all right? So carry on.
Who knew that this was going to turn into the jump, the hair show?
Yeah,
but
no.
That is where we are. One thing I love about the Stanley Cup trophy is that it lists all the names of the guys who have won it, and that just then goes on in history. They sometimes will have to replace one of the bands because they've run out of room, but then the band that they take off goes straight into the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
pretty
well,
cool.
Well, Rachel, there's only two of us with hair up here, by the way.
One. Two. I got Matt Barnes joining us now alongside Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah,
Chris Bosch still on the line from Texas. Or no, you're in Los Angeles now. Look at that behind you. It's lovely. Lovely, Chris. This offseason, guys, you will remember that the Celtics did some reshuffling, right? Brad Stevens stepping aside as coach, but now being lifted up to GM. Danny Ainge retiring. Taking Stevens' place, though, Ime Udoka is now the head coach. And yesterday at Team USA basketball practice, Boston star Jason Tatum speaking for the first time about his new head coach. Take a listen.
Coming up as an assistant, you get your first head coach job that you're driven and motivated. And from the conversations that I've had with him since he's gotten the job, I can tell he's just really, really excited. It's going to be fun, and we're going to try to accomplish something big.
Perk, do you like how I said Team USA basketball practice as if maybe they had been on the swimming team or the gymnastics team? I just wanted to clarify that for the people. Mm. The Celtics team, though, that Jason is on is, I know, a particular interest to you, sir. So what do you think it will take for new coach Udoka, Tatum, and the Celtics to be title contenders once again?
Well, in a perfect world, I would like them to get Kyle Lowry, but I don't think they have the capital or the money or the cap space to do it. I would actually, consider trading Marcus Smart for Malcolm Brogdon. I would bring him in. I think he's a guy that fits in well around the two guys that matters the most, and that's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, right? He's a 50-40-90 guy. He knows how to play off the ball. You saw him when he was with the Milwaukee Bucks early in his career. We saw him with the Indiana Pacers and how he's able to be a system guy. So a guy that compliments him very well. He's making around $20 million a year, which he deserves it. He could go out there and get you 20 a night, and he don't need the ball in his hands. He also can run the point if you need him to, and he's not bad on the defensive side of things.
I think Perk made a great point. It's been an experiment as far as trying to find the right point guard to fit with Tatum and Brown. You know, they tried Kyrie. That didn't really work. They tried Kemba. That really worked. And those are score-first point guards. I think, as Perk pointed out, you need someone that can initiate the offense, get the ball in the right people's hands, knock down shots when needed, then play defense. So I think that's probably the most important key to this team getting back on track. I think last year got kind of lost in the shuffle with the pandemic, injuries. I think Brad Stevens lost that locker room early in the season. You can kind of tell through their inconsistent play. So I think adding Moses Brown for that Kemba Walker trade is going to be a big for him. He's a big, tall kid that can rebound, block shots, and really hold that paint down. So I'm really looking forward to these guys getting back on track. But again, I think finding a point guard, a throwback Rondo, ideally would be perfect, and I'm sure Celtics fans would like that, but someone that can definitely get the ball in the guy's hands in the right positions and be effective on both ends.
I mean, Rajon Rondo himself might be available,
hey,
Matt Forrest. I just don't know if you can stick him in a de-aging time machine.
I love Rondo, but that ain't it.
Chris Bosh, look, Kendrick brought up trading Marcus Smart, which has been heresy to Boston fans for a long time. But do you think a move like that to get someone back who can have a little different element to that team is a smart move, or do you see something else being a better decision?
Well, I definitely have to go 3-for-3 with the fellas. They do have to have an upgrade at point guard. That's been a struggle for them for years. And sometimes it's really taxing, especially on Tatum, Marcus Smart, to play those point guard positions sometimes, play, pretty much out of their positions and try to make things happen. You definitely want a floor general out there that could dictate the offense, get the ball to where it needs to go, and really run that team. And really, outside of that, they have everything else. Bringing back Al Horford, they have veteran leadership in the locker room. I want to give credit to M.A. Udoka for really just putting the work in and making sure he's ready and available when his time came. I mean, he's been a great assistant coach for some time, and now it's his time to shine up there with Boston. And I'm sure he knows the position that he's in. Kendrick can tell you that the moment you come up to Boston, I'm pretty sure you're expected to win right away, and it's championship or bust city. So they're going to have to put something together, but definitely the first thing they have to address is that point guard situation, and then I think they can build out from there.
I think one thing to keep in mind, too, which makes Perk's point more valid, is although Marcus Smart is that emotional leader, that defensive leader, Jason Tatum and Brown are actually two-way players. They both get in and play some defense. And normally with young scorers, it's only one side of the ball. But those two guys play both sides of the ball, which makes, again, heart and soul Marcus Smart. I love to see him and what he's done there. But it makes him expendable because your two best scorers can also play defense.
Yeah, well, I like the idea when everyone gets to be a two-way player because there's playing both ends of the basketball court. That's personally my preference in a player, but that's just me, and I'm more of a fan. Chris Bosh, thank you so much for joining us. You will be back with us through these finals. We love hearing from you. We'll see you soon. Everyone else, stick with us, though, because up next on The Jump, former Laker, current free agent center, Andre Drummond is going to join the show. We'll ask him about some of the issues he may have had with playing time in L.A., what he sees for the future. Stay tuned. Welcome back. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined still by Matt Barnes, Kendrick Perkins in the house. And at this time, we would like to welcome in two-time All-Star, played for the Cavs and the Lakers last season, Andre Drummond. Thanks for stopping by today.
What's going on?
Very happy to have you. And I just want to get to it because you recently commented on Instagram. A fan said they wished that you would dominate the paint like Brooke Lopez and DeAndre Ayton. And you said, tell y'all coach to play me more. And I could.
Shots fired.
You averaged 25 minutes per game with the Lakers in the regular season, 21 minutes a game in the playoffs. So explain, tell us the issues you had and how you see how things sort of panned out.
Well, one, it wasn't an issue to begin with. I used that to, I'm actually launching an NFT on Friday. So that was just to they'll get everybody's attention to really look forward to something.
Well, we will ask you about the NFT too, but that's strategic, interesting strategy.
Strategic.
Very strategic. You know, I just did what I needed to. I got the attention. Now I'm talking to you guys. So I get to talk about it more.
There we go. Well, I will ask you then the more broad question. Were you happy in a Laker uniform this season?
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. I think my time and experience in LA has been really good. I think I've learned a lot, you know, being with those guys, LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
Oh, we lost Andre there for a minute. There we go.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my experience in LA was really good. I really enjoyed myself being out there. I learned a lot, and just looking forward to what's next.
Nice.
Andre, big fella, big perk here. Hey, look, with the centers and bigs starting to dominate the game again and bring life back to the center position, who's the best big in the game right now in your eyes?
Best big in my game.
Look, and you can't say yourself, all right?
I wasn't going to say myself. Jokic is up there. I think Jokic is up there right now. Joel Embiid, obviously, is another dominant big. Anthony Davis, you know, giving me respect as well, too. But I think that's pretty it right there.
So you going with Jokic as your number one?
Yep.
Well, who are you going with your number one, Perk?
I mean, I'm going to go with Jokic. He won the MVP.
One thing
about me, Rachel, is that I'm not going to straddle the fence, all right? Yeah. Go ask me, I'm going to tell you. I'm going with Jokic.
Amen.
Big fella Andre, what's up? It's Matt Barnes here. Question, you were caught on camera in Game 3 when Bron was backing down Crowder. You were doing the back down move and everyone kind of saw it. You guys ended up winning that game, but that sparked the Phoenix Suns. They went on to win the next three games and win 9 straight. Did you think the mimic and having fun at the time was going to really cause them to lock in and go on the run they made?
You know, for me, my experience in the playoffs was very pleasant. So for me to have a win in the playoffs, I was excited. You know, carrying my teammates on, regardless of what it looks like. There are people celebrating their own ways. So did I think it was going to become a big thing? Not really. That just was an in-the-moment thing where I just was hyping my teammate up. He was having a good run.
Absolutely.
Well, look, you had a finals prediction, right, that I saw?
Yeah.
Did you see that, where he tweeted out Suns in 4?
Oh, you got the Suns in 4. I didn't know that. That's your prediction for this series?
For that day, I was continuing. Yeah, while the ball's still rolling, Suns in 4. I was continuing the troll. I was trolling everybody, man. But I think the Suns have a good chance of winning it all. I think they deserve it. They've overcame so much this year, and they're a fun team to watch.
Well, look, man, you did get everyone's attention, right? So talk to us about the NFTs. What is this project that you were doing that you've been trying to put yourself out there a little bit more so people see it?
Yeah, so this project I have going on right now is a one-of-one where I fly a fan out and their best friend. They get a chance to come out and meet me. We designed one of my game shoes. They get to put whatever twist and turn whatever they want on the shoe. I'm going to wear it for that game. Fly them out first class, put them up in a hotel to get the you know, come see the game. And after the game, I hand deliver the shoe and sign it to them.
So,
okay, can we enter? can we enter the winning?
I mean, if you want to.
We both got kids. We both got boys.
Real, right?
We there can you enter go.
Them, right? Yeah. Bring them out. Bring them out. I'll do that for free for you guys. Y'all my brother. Man.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, I love all the ways. One of the big conversations over the last week or two are the way college athletes can make more money off their names and likenesses. But I also love the way that a lot of pro athletes are now getting into different spaces, whether it's media and podcasts and other things that can generate income from them, whether it's shoe lines and clothes and other things on that tip. But this also NFT market has really exploded. And the idea that you are packaging that with an experience and you're going to be able to make that sort of more of your line out there beyond basketball is really, really cool. So, Andre, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for clearing up a few things.
Thank you, guys. Of course.
And now we know when you troll an IG, when you're putting stuff out on Twitter, we know that you've got a larger scheme, a little chess there and not just checkers.
Come on, always chess.
Thank you so much, Andre. All right,
I want to
stick with the big man. the big man theme with these guys on set, right? 2018 number one overall draft pick is playing in this series. DeAndre Ayton joined an impressive company in his finals debut. Only Ayton, and yes, he was Lou Alcindor at the time, but that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to you. He had 20 points, 15 rebounds, and 80% shooting in their first ever final game. So both of those are the only two men in history to clear that bar. Perk, what has impressed you most about Ayton's game this postseason?
Everything. But can we take a moment and shout out Mark Bryant, right? Because I feel like he flies under the radar. When you look at Mark Bryant, he has been a longtime assistant for 20-plus years, a guy that worked with Dwight Howard when he was in Orlando playing some of his best basketball, also a guy like Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, and he's now working with DeAndre Ayton. And what I notice about DeAndre Ayton is that we all know he had the skill set, but now he has that killer mentality. He has that dog in him right now where he's dominating on both ends of the floor. But the thing that impresses me the most about him is his rebounding. The way he's able to rebound, you know, like perimeter-wise, like it's not just standing in one spot and snagging. The way he's able to maneuver and move and go get rebounds is something fun to watch. And I think he's a David Robinson 2.0 in my opinion.
I love that. I think obviously Chris Paul coming to this team has helped simplify and have Ayton understand what his role is. I mentioned on yesterday's show when Jeff Van Gundy said, you know, rebound, run and roll, you know. So I think he's done a good job of just kind of simplifying. He's so talented, so he didn't really know what to do when. He can pop, pick and pop. He can roll. He puts pressure on the rim. And then, like Perk said, he's an old school big that can really rebound. Some guys are big and just don't rebound. This guy, you know, cleans up the glass, blocks shots, protects the paint, catches lobs. He does everything you're asking. Again, Chris Paul has a tremendous track record of getting bigs paid, starting with Tyson Chandler, then my former teammate DeAndre Jordan with Lob City. He helped Clint Capella get some money, and he's going to do the same thing with DeAndre Ayton now, and also help him get the championship.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly that bag is coming, right?
Yes,
so whether the ring comes or not, the bag is coming.
Let me hold something.
Back the Brinks truck up.
I do love, though, how DeAndre has really borne down and the work ethic he has shown, especially since Monty Williams got here, being receptive to Monty telling him that he did have to work harder. Monty told him, you can work at a level where you show up and collect a check, or you can work at a level where you show up and then collect wins, and it goes somewhere.
And I think a big thing, too, was that was a big challenge in that first round against playing against Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I think he came out and used that as a measuring stick. You know, AD is, you know, arguably the best power forward in the game, and he came out there and completely, although, you know, he was a little injured, he outplayed AD. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So Ayton came and really got that confidence, and his confidence has continued to grow to them being in the finals now. So I think it's great to see, especially for all these young players that have never been there, but you can never tell.
Well, one of Monty's other thing is everything counts, and his point is if you come in at 6 a.m., in September on a Tuesday, that counts in your big bucket of
Absolutely.
What prepares you
Absolutely.
For an NBA Finals moment, and that they have been putting stuff in that bucket all season. And he has told DeAndre Ayton, you've got that full bucket of work now. You can use it to go to work on this Bucks team. We will talk about more of this matchup right after this break. Coming up also, Brooke Lopez from the Miami Bucks. Wow, that was a lot right there. The Milwaukee Bucks, friends, the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooke Lopez, also known as Splash Mountain, joined The Jump to discuss that just elite nickname, his first finals, the return of Giannis, his history with Matt Barnes. Well, at this time, we want to welcome Bucks center Brooke Lopez to The Jump. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Love it. Brooke, you have now played in an NBA Finals game. It has happened. So what are the finals like compared to all of the other hundreds and thousands of basketball games you have played?
Yeah, you know, obviously there's a lot more ceremony. You know, the fans really brought the energy last night. But, you know, once you get underway, obviously it's just kind of another basketball game. That's how you handle it professionally. But it was such a great environment to be a part of.
Brooke, Matt Barnes here. With Giannis going down in the Eastern Conference Finals, his status for the finals was uncertain. What kind of boost did he give your team in your locker room once you guys knew he was playing in game one?
Definitely gave us a lot of confidence, great feelings, you know, obviously just to have your leader out there with you and go into battle in game one. And, you know, we know he's not completely 100% right now, but he's going to go out there and play like he's 110%. You know, that's the kind of guy he is. So to have that feeling from that guy, that definitely just, it's contagious with everyone.
He definitely brings that enthusiasm. Now, Brooke, In the third quarter, you got called for a flagrant on Chris Paul stepping in that landing area. You didn't really react at all. What happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, CP's a great player. He made a tough shot. And, you know, I can't lie. I kind of felt when I went to contest, you know, my foot slipped under there a little bit. So, you know, I felt I was in there. And that's the call they made.
Well, obviously, he went on to play okay, so you don't have to have guilt about that. You do have the flagrant on your record. That's all going into game two. I know Matt wanted to ask you about tonight's game.
Yes. You know, this is all about adjustments, particularly in the finals. What adjustments do you guys feel like you need to make to come out stronger in game two?
Yeah, I think there were a few things, you know, that just after looking at film and looking at numbers and stuff like that, that really glared at us. One of them was the amount of free throws they shot versus how many we shot. You know, they were very aggressive just from the get. And we definitely could use that same intensity, just trying to get to the basket and drawing fouls. And then they had a ton of transition points as well. I think 25 transition points or something like that. So those two numbers together, I think, obviously make it a completely different game. That just shows how aggressive they were coming out in game one.
Now, Brooke, you know that I think you have one of the best nicknames in the league, Splash Mountain, of course, playing on your love for Disneyland and Disney World. Do any of your teammates actually call you that, or is it just fun for us in the media?
No, they definitely do. I know Giannis absolutely loves it. Giannis is all about it, a few of the guys. but it just depends on the game to game, too. They'll go Splash Mountain, or sometimes they'll go Brooklyn Brook.
Right.
Man of many names. I'm going to take you back down memory lane, Brooke. So I got a chance to play with your older brother in AU, and I remember you and your brother Robin used to be running underneath the stands and taking purses and knocking drinks off. Do you remember those days? Because it's funny. I was just with Ray Young last night, and I was like, you remember when the Lopez twins used to be underneath the stands when we had practiced or playing? They're stealing purses.
Mischief.
I do remember that. We were active kids. I'll try to put it positively.
Very active.
It's funny, just when Rob and I first got to the league and we started meeting, you know, coaches, players, everything like that, they'd all have the same thing to say. Oh, yeah, I remember you two guys, like, you'd be on the sideline at AAU tournaments fighting, or like you said, under the bleachers causing trouble. And then it always led to the same thing. Like, we just felt so bad for your poor mom having to deal with both of you.
Hey, man, well, I got twins. I know how it goes. Rachel has twins.
That's right.
He knows how it goes. But look at you now, man. You're in the NBA Finals, so it all paid off.
Right. Hey, man. And by the way, I said mischief because I want to make it clear. You were not stealing purses. You were moving purses around, knocking over
drinks. Stealing might have been the wrong word.
All of that stuff. Good-natured fun.
Right.
Brooke, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck in game two. We'll see y'all on the court.
Best of luck.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much to Brooke. Kendrick Perkins has twins, too. We're just twin central around here. Can't speak for whether there will be any twins showing up in tomorrow night's game, but we'll have some predictions coming up right after this break. Stick with us. That Chris Paul effect, we'll see if it's in effect tonight. Time for a little Game 2 Prop Bets edition of the Jump Ball, people. All props are courtesy of Caesars William Hill. Let's start with Devin Booker, since we just heard from him. Perk, over or under 28.5 points for Book tonight?
Well, I know Nate the Great is going to be mad because he prepped me for the show, and I told him I was going with the over, Rachel and Richard. But after thinking about it, I'm going with the under. I don't think he's going to score over 28.5 tonight. I think the Bucks' defense is going to be on point, and I think Devin Booker probably score around 22 to 23 tonight.
I honestly suck at betting. It's one of the few vices that I don't have. So I'm going to say under. I think this is going to be a balanced scoring attack. So if he scores 28, I win, right?
No, if he scores 29, you win.
No, I want to go with the under.
Yeah, right.
So 28 is good? Right. Yeah, I'm going to say 28. I don't know.
Is there anything else you're not good at you want to share with us?
Probably the next jump ball we're about to do.
Let's talk Giannis then. His over-under for combined points, rebounds, and assists tonight is set at 44.5. Richard, do you understand the question, and do you have an answer?
I've never understood the question, but I will give you an answer. That's part of the things that I do.
Can I make you understand it?
Please. No. Don't do that. Shut your mouth, okay? I'm going to say he's going to go over 44.5. I don't know what that means, but I'm going with the over for Giannis.
I'm going with the over as well, although the line has changed in the hour, right? So I'm going with the over. He's going to, like, if he gets 25 points and 15 rebounds, that's 40 right there.
Thanks
and
for the math.
All of, then all he needs is, like, five assists now. He's going to get that.
There we go. That's that quick math.
All right. Well, let's go back to the overall game. I'm bringing an abacus to the set tomorrow. I'm just going to point that out. The Suns are favored tonight. Richard, okay. You really like betting on the Suns when they're favored. So yes. What's your answer?
Well, I'm a front runner, and there's nothing that should be new to people about that. So I'm going to say this. I think the Suns win this game, but I still think this series goes 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. We know that the Bucks are a slow starting team, and the Suns really come out on fire. So I'm still picking the Suns to win tonight, and whatever the under over thing is. Yeah.
Well, I'm going with the Bucks with the 4.5, getting 4.5. I'm going with the Bucks to win the game. I think they're going to end even the series and put y'all on game. I'm also taking the Bucks first half, meaning that they got to cover plus 2.5. They're getting 2.5. They only got to be down.
Tune in tonight on ABC to find out if Perk is right. We'll see him back here tomorrow.
Zero chance of him being right.